So I need to share this precious thing with you. This is not part of the sermon. And that was that when my name is mentioned to Cassidy, she says, Amen. So if anybody thinks that children should not be brought up in the church in worship, there is a wonderful example of how she knows the Lord. Not that I'm the Lord. I'm not saying that. But she knows that. And what I also heard is that when she starts crying and that name is mentioned or God is mentioned, she says Amen, and she kind of calms herself to sleep. Did I hear that right? Semi-right? Yeah. Yeah. How wonderful is that? Now, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You know, this morning's gospel is a tough one, isn't it? It's difficult for this reason. On the surface, it looks pretty simple. If you, whatever you do in this world, the opposite is going to happen to you in the afterlife. Right? On the surface, we would say, oh. But we know better than that, don't we? We do know better than that. And we know that, especially in Luke's gospel isn't focusing on life after death. Luke's gospel focuses on our life here today. And Luke's gospel is all about social justice and justice for all people and equality here today. So we're going to take that one off the table. Here's what we heard. There's a big pit between you and us, as Abraham says. A demarcation, or what we might want to call a great divide. Now, we know about great divides, don't we? I mean, there are natural great divides. There's the great divide that we call the continental divide. Right? That's a divide which I've gone back and forth, you know, past that thing so many times, and I guess I never really stopped to think about what it was, because it goes all the way from the tip of North America all the way down the Americas to South America. And it is a natural division that when water falls, anything that goes to the west of that continental divide, any water, will drain out to the Pacific Ocean. And any water precipitation that comes down sort of to the east is going to flow over to either the Gulf or to the Atlantic Ocean. A divide, a natural divide. Then there are man-made divisions, right, or separations. Divides, think about just that word right there. Divides can be functional, right? We have divides here. Okay, our divide is a little on the weak side back there, that curtain, right? But you've seen the kind of divides that they kind of come out of the wall, right? Some of them are motorized. Some of them you have to connect together. When you have a big hall like this and you want to functionally divide it up, you use a divider so that different groups of people can meet at the same time and not sort of interrupt each other with what they're doing. And that's not a bad divide for what it's to be used for. It's very functional. But then we have non-functional man-made divides. And those are the things that are isolating. Those are the things that separate. Those are the things that segregate. And it's not the kind of divide that you see unless you're looking upon it objectively, unless you're looking upon it as an observer. And in our parable today, that's what we have. We have a man-made divide. Let's look at this story. It is a parable, and parables can be told where it's totally to the extreme, and that's what we have today. Extreme, an extreme division. We have man number one, and we have man number two. What is the first thing that we know or don't know about man number one? We don't know his name. We know about his condition, but we don't know his name. Now, man number two, we know his name. We're told what his name is. His name is Lazarus. Man number one, he's referred to based on his condition in this world. He's called the rich man. And we know he's rich because he covers himself in fine linens. In some of the translations, it's purple, which is meant for royalty. So he is covered in royalty, purple, fine linens, dresses well. Man number two. We know what he's covered in, don't we? He's covered in sores. Yes, he is covered in sores. Man number one. We sort of know, based now on the fact that he's been designated the rich man, we know how he eats. He eats probably whatever, whenever, the finest of foods. Doesn't want for any food at all. Man number two, what does he eat? The scraps of man number one. Now, you think that man number one is coming out, giving him the scraps from the table? No. We can surmise from this that he is going into the garbage to eat the food that is left over, the food that this man number one has discarded. Let's go back to man number one. We know that he doesn't do anything that would comfort man number two. Man number two is not capable of comforting himself. As a matter of fact, the compassion for man number two, Lazarus, comes from a dog. Even the dog is moved to lick this man's wounds, to help with the healing. Now, of course, we understand that isn't necessary healing, but the dog is licking his wounds. One is located inside, and the other is located outside, and they both die. They go to different locations. The division continues. Now, at this point, we could say, well, the man didn't really know Lazarus. He didn't see him outside the gate. When he was pulling in and out in his Rolls Royce, you know, he couldn't see, or his huge, you know, SUV, he couldn't see him. If he saw him, I mean, my gosh, he definitely would have helped him. He didn't see him going into his garbage. He had no idea. I mean, he walked right past him, and it was as if he wasn't even there. But is that true? Did he really not see him? We know from the conversation that this rich man has with Father Abraham that he saw him all right. As a matter of fact, he knew his name. It's not that he didn't see Lazarus outside its gate. It's how he saw Lazarus. You see, he knew Lazarus's name. What's the first thing he says? Send Lazarus. Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Have him dip his finger in the cool water and bring it to me to cool my tongue. So not only did he know who Lazarus was, know his name, but he saw him as someone who was beneath him, someone who was to serve him, not only in this life, but in the next life. He saw Lazarus also as the person, the servant, that should go and tell his brothers and sisters. It's a neutral. It's translated as brothers, but it's brothers and sisters, his family. Again, seeing him as the one who is to do for Lazarus. I'm sorry, for the rich man in the afterlife. He saw him as still the one who had his earthly riches around him. And you know something? This parable points to our life today. Because even then, the rich man did not see Lazarus as a fellow human being. What is keeping us from seeing each other, because there is something that's keeping us from seeing each other. You see, there is a great divide today, and a man-made divide. There is something that separates us. So I'm going to ask you a personal question for you to answer to yourself. What gate, what wall, what fence, what man-made divide holds us back, separates us as human beings, separates us from being able to see the other person as an equal? Is it money? Is it wealth? Is it the power that that brings and the status? Is it the gates, physical gates that we put up to keep the other out? Is it the fact that we like comfort and we don't want to talk about those things because it makes us so uncomfortable? Is it our skin color? Is it our gender? Is it our education? Is it any combination of those? What is it that causes us not to see the other as truly equal? You see, we are the siblings today. We are the brothers and sisters in this world here now. We have the prophets. In fact, we have the law. But what is the thing that we know that we're not capable of doing? We can't keep the law. And that's what got us in trouble in the first place. The fact that we cannot is why God came, because only God can. And so God incarnate in Jesus came down as a human being, suffered death, and rose again, so that we may no longer have a great divide that separates us from God, our Creator. And so if we have a Lord who has come back and walked the face of the earth to tell us this great divide, which is man-made, has been bridged, why is it that we're not able to knock down those bridges, those divides that separate us from each other? What is it that keeps us from doing it? You see, you and I today, we are siblings of that incarnate Jesus Christ. We are called to live brand new lives today. No divisions between us. All are equal in Christ. We are siblings, each other, to each other, with God as our Father, God as our Creator, who bridges that great man-made divide. So we're invited to go out and knock down those man-made divisions that we have come up with. Because many of the things that we have come up with are societal. As a society, we've put up those gates. We've put up those walls. So there is water in the back on the bar. You are invited today, if you would like to take a small bottle of water, to look around, and to see who you might not normally see. To see someone who perhaps, in all honesty, we have to be honest here, we don't see as an equal. And I want you to hand that bottle of water to that person and to let them know that together you and that person are a beloved child of God. When you take that step over the divide, you will be so surprised where you see the face of Christ reaching out to you and bridging that gap. And that gap becomes smaller and smaller and goes away. Take that water, take that step, see Christ in the other. Amen.